Well, as Australia's internal borders tighten up, Nepal is preparing to lift restrictions on foreign visitors entering the country from Monday, just in time for the peak climbing season. But with COVID-19 cases rising in the country since the partial lifting of restrictions 3 weeks ago, there's concern that opening back up will risk the health of locals and tourists. Officially, Nepal has recorded more than 24,000 cases and 91 deaths from the virus. But there has been limited testing. Simon Balderston was a member of Australia's first Everest expedition in 1984. He's a co-founder and chairman of the Australian Himalayan Foundation, which supports education and health services in Nepal, Bhutan and northern India. Simon Balderston, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Just before we get to the decision to open up to the climbers again, just give us a picture of what's going on in Nepal, can you, Simon? What's going on in terms of this rise in coronavirus cases?
Yeah, just quickly before I do that, an update. Nepal has just announced that it is actually going to delay those lifting of restrictions on international and domestic travel and any long distance travel, in fact, and lifting of the school lockdowns till at least September.
So let's stick with that for a minute. So now they will not be opening next Monday as planned. They're going to delay the opening, even though the peak climbing season is just beginning, yeah?
Yeah, look, it's obviously tourism is important to Nepal, but the Nepalese government has wisely decided that the health of its citizens is more important, and they've and with a spike in recent weeks of the incidence of cases of COVID, they're delaying those restrictions, and importantly for us at the Australian Himalayan Foundation, they're delaying or putting off the lifting of the lockdown of schools. So that was going to be next week as well, but now it will be at least September. So our programs will continue.
I want to come to that, what's going on in terms of the schools and the economies and the societies, but just to stick with the climbing for a moment, that was a decision. Do you trust that decision was made entirely with the health imperatives at hand, or was there a sense that the climbers and the trekkers wouldn't have been keen to come anyway at this time? I mean, A, getting there is difficult, and B, it's dangerous.
Look, as far as I know, it was entirely due to the matter of health. The situation with COVID in Nepal is that the very porous border to India is causing the most COVID cases, or put it this way, most of the COVID cases in Nepal of the 24,000 are in the Kerai district around the border of India, and also in the Kathmandu Valley. The Kathmandu Valley is experiencing a major spike in cases. So spots like the Solukhumbu Valley, where we operate, the south of Mount Everest, and other areas, other more remote areas, have so far remained pretty COVID-free, actually.
You are in the climbing fraternity still, I think, or connected to it. Are the climbers talking about trekking anywhere, Nepal or other places at the moment? Look, I mean, I imagine social distancing difficult when climbing.
They're always keen. No, I think most people had assumed that there wouldn't be any trekking and climbing this season. You know, the peak of the season is in September, as you mentioned, these things take a lot of planning. So until you know, and a long time planning. So until you know for sure that you're going to be able to go, then you're not putting in a hell of a lot of effort of preparing to go. So I think most people had assumed that there wouldn't be any taking place.
Simon, Nepal is a poor nation with limited resources. How worried are you about the pressures of them to open up the border, and what impact is it having at the moment, this virus on Nepal?
I'm more worried about the effect of COVID if it gets into remote areas, because we take for granted things like washing our hands for 20 seconds in warm and soapy water, etc., and social distancing and the general education system. But in terms of teaching people about what to do in regard to COVID, so, and the health system in being able to cope with it. So Nepal obviously is very different in that situation, and it's really, really difficult. I think it will be difficult if COVID takes hold in some of these districts to control it very well. We've seen what's happened in Kathmandu, that's my main worry. But I'm more concerned now that the Nepal government is doing a pretty good job, and a lot of assistance is being offered to Nepal from international organisations to handle it. And I think that they'll do the best they can. I'm just worried about the resources on the ground and the general level of hygiene in a lot of areas, which is very different to ours.
Yeah, it makes it very difficult, doesn't it? Simon, thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations on the work the Australian Himalayan Foundation is doing.
Yeah. Look, we're involved greatly in setting up a terrific distance learning scheme, which is now covering 1.2 million kids across Nepal in lieu of our teacher training and our schools resourcing. So we've adapted to COVID as well as we can. For a little organisation, we figure we've done pretty well so far.
Good on you. Thanks, Simon Balderston.
No worries. Thank you.
Simon Balderston, a chair and co-founder of the Australian Himalayan Foundation. And like all charities, I think at the moment, the foundation's finding fundraising difficulty. There's a lot of stresses on people, obviously, at this time. So if you do have the capacity to give, then the Himalayan Foundation, as other charities, want to continue doing the work to support people who need support at this time.